This podcast is brought to you by She Society, sharing the perspectives and stories of women Australia-wide.
Hello and welcome to Buzzing About Books with Michelle Beasley. I'm home here in Brisbane in my library and it's a rainy day here today. It's also the day that Facebook has decided to take a few of our articles, so I wondered what had happened to my Facebook this morning. All of my shared articles had gone, but now I know. So I thought that I'd do a podcast instead. I haven't talked about books this year much on She Society. I read a bumper crop of books last year, so I didn't expect this year to be so good. But I started the year with a gift from my son, Matthew, and he'd heard about this through a few friends. So my first read, when I was still on holiday at the coast, was Shuggy Bane by Douglas Stewart. Now, some of you may have known this is the 2020 Booker Prize winner, and it's a very gritty book set in Glasgow in 1981, which is an era I know very well. The city is dying, poverty is on the rise, people watch the lives they'd hoped for disappear from view. Now, Glasgow was quite gritty back in the day. I've only been through there. We stopped in at Glasgow Airport once and then caught the train to Edinburgh to see my father-in-law. But it's a pumping, hip and happening city now, and a few of my friends' kids have studied there and really enjoyed it. So, but the Glasgow of 1981 was a little bit different. The miners' strikes were on, and Agnes Bain, who was a beautiful woman, had always expected more. She dreamed of great things, a house of her own, all paid for. But when her philandering husband Hugh ups and leaves her with three children, she finds herself trapped in a mining town which is decimated by the Thatcher-era politics. As she increasingly turns to alcohol for comfort, her children try their best to save her. Yet one by one, they abandon her in order to save themselves. The last one is her youngest, and he's an odd little boy called Shuggy, named after his father, but he holds out the hope for the longest. And he has problems of his own. Other kids don't get him. He tries to pass off as a normal boy, but everyone says Shuggy is not right. So Agnes wants to be there for her son, but her addiction has the power to eclipse everyone close to her, even her beloved Shuggy. So it betrays the ruthless poverty of the time, how pride can change you, and it's a blistering debut by an exceptional novelist. Now, some people have found it too gritty to read at the moment. I absolutely loved it. I saw it as a mother and son love story and the bond that is very hard to be broken. You can tell it's based on some of Douglas's life, and there's a lot of Scottish sayings in there which may take some people a little bit of getting used to, but I can see perfectly why it won the prize. I absolutely loved it and was sad to find it come to an end. So probably one of my best books for 2021 is the 2020 Booker Prize winner, Shuggy Bane. If you don't mind a bit of grit and hardship and you want to a reminder of the 80s and how things have changed, this one will be for you. I went back. I read Sally Rooney's Normal People and loved it, and then I saw the series. So I went and found her backlog, which includes the conversations with friends. And I actually found it just as good, if not better, than Normal People. So it was shortlisted for the Dylan Thomas Prize and the Rathbones Folio Prize. And it tells the story of Frances, who's 21 years old. She's very cool-headed and observant. She's an aspiring writer and a student in Dublin, so another kind of gritty area. And at night, she performs spoken word poetry with her best friend, Bobby. Now, Bobby used to be her girlfriend. They're interviewed and befriended by Melissa, who's a well-known photojournalist, and she's married to Nick, who's an actor. So they enter into this world that is not their student world. It's one of beautiful houses, raucous dinner parties and holidays in Brittany. And there begins a very complex menage a trois, menage a quatre. But when Francis and Nick get unexpectedly closer, the sharply witty and over-emotional adverse Frances is forced to honestly confront her own vulnerabilities for the first time. That's a lot in Frances's head. I did really love it, being a writer myself, but you just can't believe that this was Sally Rooney's debut book. It's very well written, very modern, darkly funny and very sharp. So if you love Normal People, I think you'll enjoy that one too. Not a new release, but one that I enjoyed going back to. Now the next one is, well, it will have to fight with Shuggy Bain for being my favourite of 2021, and it's hardly even started. We're only here in February. This one was recommended to me by fashion designer and from Brisbane label Maoki, D. Maoki. Now, this is one of her friends, Julietta Henderson, was the writer of The Funny Thing About Norman Foreman. And honestly, I had never read anything like it. Julietta has had a varied life. She's lived in lots of countries. She's been a comedian, a chef. Came from North Queensland originally, so she's done and seen a lot of things, but you can tell she's such a warm person from the way she writes. Now, it's a really different story. It tells the story of Norman and Jax, his best friend Jax, and they're a legendary comedy duo in the making. So their five-year plan is to get to the Edinburgh Fringe Festival by the time they're 15. But in a sudden twist, Jack dies before they even turn 12. Now, Norman's mum is a single mum, Sadie, and she knows she won't win the Mother of the Year anytime soon, and she doesn't really know or even care who Norman's father is. Norman's hers. They're a team together, and Jack's just fitted in so well with their comedy team. She becomes heartbroken when she discovers that while Norman's grieving, his plan that he and Jax have created now includes find Dad and get to the Edinburgh Fringe. So if meeting his dad and performing at the festival are the two things that will help Norman through this devastating time, then Sadie is going to make them happen. So they set off from their home in Cornwall with their friend Leonard in his vintage Austin, and they make the pilgrimage to Edinburgh to honour Jax, and on the way to track down a few of the maybe fathers that are on their spreadsheet. So it's an inspiring, feel-good novel about a small boy with a big heart, a woman who'd do anything for her son, and a journey that will change their lives. And you will absolutely love Norman. I just want to cry even thinking about the book. But that's not to say that it's completely sad. Even for the sad things that happen, it's very, very funny. The characters are so endearing. It's so well written. I'm just going to say, read it. Just read it. Charming, warm-hearted, just what we all need right now. And a wonderful debut from Julietta Henderson. Well done, Julietta. So I went from Norman and I read another new release that has been on everyone's lips. It's called The Women and the Girls. And the thing that drew me to this one was it's set in 1977. So I remember those times, of course, and I hadn't realised how much had changed for women. I was quite youngish still at that stage. But it tells of mums, Libby, her friend Carol, who's immigrated from London, and Anna, who's a career woman. It tells of their marriages and the bonds of friendship they make. They don't like each other that much at the beginning, but as they get to know each other, they end up moving in together and their lives change. So it really looks at things like, well, one of her husbands took his wife's passport and that was okay, and how they had to try and get jobs, and after not being in the workforce for that long, it was really terribly hard. So it's set a bit against a backdrop of inner city grunge and 70s glamour, far out parties and ABBA songs. I love that part. It's a funny, questioning and moving novel about love, friendship, work, family and freedom. So Leanne Moriarty said, "When I turned the last page, I was so sad to say goodbye to her beautifully observed characters, a delight from start to finish. And all of the characters are good. All of the wives who are central and the three friends and their friendship, that's central to the story. But also the men in their lives all have distinct characters and distinct ways about them and are very much like the men that I knew in the late 70s, early 80s. So if you want to read about friendship and a little bit of our history set in Sydney, you might enjoy The Women and the Girls. It has a beautiful cover. You can't miss the colours of red and pink and yellow, or orangey yellow. So that's a standout one from author Laura Bloom. Then I wanted a change of pace after that. I was missing Norman, so I thought I'll go for something else funny, but in a different way. So I'd read The Single Ladies of the Jacaranda Retirement Village, and I found it was half price at the State Library bookshop. So I thought, oh, I've been wanting to read that. So I read The Last Voyage of Mrs. Henry Parker. And it was so funny and just what I needed, especially when you think about all of the lovely people who were affected by cruises last year and in the COVID era. It really brought it home how much our older generation have just become a cruising society. And I do know lots of my older friends who all they do is save up for their next cruise, and some of them, that's their life. They go from cruise to cruise to cruise, and they never go to a nursing home. They just get looked after on the cruise. So this is a lovely little one, and it tells the story of Evelyn, who is the wife of a retired ship's doctor called Dr. Henry Parker, hence the title. Evelyn is living out her twilight years aboard the Golden Sunset. Every night she dresses for dinner, she has a gown, her tiara, and something shows up, some runners. She's always worn blue court shoes before that, or navy court shoes. She regales her fellow passengers, with stories of a glamorous life travelling the world in luxury. But now Henry's missing, and it's up to Evelyn to find him. So she dons her runners, which are her Finding Henry shoes, and armed with a pocket map, she embarks upon an odyssey to try and search every part of the Grand Ocean Liner until she finds him. There are lots of funny misadventures. She makes new friends. People note her scandalous behaviour and roll their eyes. And if she could only remember the events of the night before as clearly as she can recall the first time she met Henry on a passage from England to Australia in 1953, where they fell in love. She goes back and forth in time, so we get to find out about their romance and their days first sailing the seas, some of the places they visited. So this is really a love letter to the memories we make over the course of a lifetime, and how the heart remembers what matters even when the mind has long forgotten. And I've said on another episode, Joanna Nell is a doctor who works with a lot of elderly patients, so she really knows her stuff, and she made Evelyn Parker a most endearing character. So it's funny, it's heartwarming, and I think you'll really enjoy that. And now, we come to now. And I'm reading something completely different. I'm traveling back to Paris and back in time, actually. The book that I'm reading at the moment is called The Paris Wife by Paula McLean. And I found it in a little bookshop in Mullaney. I think it's just the Mullaney Books, but they have a lot of vintage books, and I always get a few books there when I'm looking for something different. Now, this is a wonderful one. You know I've spent a lot of time in Paris, so as they walk the streets of Paris, I can see the places that they are. Like when she says, oh, Rue Jean Goujon, I'm like, oh, I went to a fashion show there. Or Rue Descartes, I'm like, we had dinner there. And above was the apartment where Ernest Hemingway stayed. So it will be great to finally get back to Paris after reading this. I have to look at all those places more closely. But I've always been fascinated with the writers who moved to Paris and got in with the artists and writing crowd there. So this tells the tragic story of love and betrayal. And it's set in Chicago in 1920, or it begins. And Hadley Richardson is a shy 28-year-old who has all but given up on love and happiness when she meets the charismatic Ernest Hemingway. She's captivated by his energy, his intensity, and his burning ambition. And after a whirlwind courtship and wedding, the pair set sail for France. But in glamorous jazz age Paris, full of artists and writers, fueled by alcohol and gossip, well, it's no place for family life and fidelity. When their marriage begins to founder, and the birth of their beloved son only drives them further apart. And finally, after Hadley has given up almost everything except her child, of course, Ernest's ferocious literary endeavours bring him recognition, not least from a woman who's intent on making him her own. And that's where I'm up to in the story. It tells a lot about their early life together, the love story between Hadley and Ernest, which is beautiful. They travel all around Europe and meeting up with friends and other artists. So you read about Ezra Pound and Gertrude Steiner and all those sorts of people. But it really is about their love story and living with a difficult and creative and imaginative man who is also like totally charismatic. So if you love stories like Midnight in Paris, the movie, if you've done those walking tours when you're in Paris like I have, this one is fascinating and I'm actually whizzing through this. I think I'll be finished it in 2 days. So The Paris Wife is keeping me very entertained. And it's as much about life and how we try to catch it as it is about when love, even when it vanishes, Hadley tries her hardest to fit in with Ernest and his crowd while also keeping a little bit of her own identity. So it's really lovely, The Paris Wife. And after that, what am I going to read next? Well, I've got it right here. It's a book that was given to me for my friend Nanny Bay, Ruth Greening, and someone gave it to her. So she's let me borrow it to read, and I've also given her Sophie Laguna's The Choke. So she's given me the new Sophie Laguna, Infinite Splendor, which celebrates the power of the human spirit. Now, she's told me that it's quite difficult to read, but I know that Sophie is a majestic and probably empathetic writer. So I know that even though it will be hard, I will still enjoy it. Someone has to tackle those hard topics. So it's about another boy. Lawrence Lohman is a bright, caring, curious boy with a gift for painting. He lives at home with his mother and younger brother. And the future is laid out before him, full of promise. But when he's 10, an experience of betrayal takes it all away. And Lawrence is left to deal with the devastating aftermath. As he grows into a man, how will he make sense of what he suffered? He can't rewrite history, but must he be condemned to repeat it? Lawrence finds meaning in the best way he knows, by surrendering himself to art and nature. He creates beauty, beauty made all the more astonishing and soulful for the deprivation that gives rise to it. And it's been said that this is an extraordinary novel, incandescent with love and compassion, rich in colour and character. So I'll tell you more about that once I've read it. And of course, another wonderful young Australian writer. So I think that'll be full of wonderful characters, might make me cry. And Sophie Laguna, you might remember, was the winner of the Miles Franklin Literary Award for The Eye of the Sheep. So she's probably one of my favorite writers at the moment, and I always look out for her work. So that will be my next read, Sophie Laguna's Infinite Splendors. So that's all for me for now. You can see I read some marvelous books at the beginning of the year. To start, I'd go for Norman Foreman. The funny thing about Norman Foreman. And if you don't mind a bit of grit, the really lovely Shaggy Bane. It's been funny that a lot of the books have been about women and their children or mothers and sons. We're having a lot of a change in our house with boys moving out and boys getting married. So I've been reflecting a lot on my role as a mum and my relationship with my boys. So it's a wonderful time for me to be reading some of these things and some of these really heartwarming and funny books, because we always get on really well and we have a lot of fun together. But I'm always there if they need someone to chat to. So that bond between a mother and son is unbreakable. And it's wonderful to read some of these great writers putting it into words. So have a wonderful time reading. A lot on Better Reading, lots of recommendations on there. I'll be bringing you some more in a few months' time when I've read a few more books. So happy reading, everyone, and stay sparkly.
This podcast is brought to you by She Society.